Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to talk this morning a little bit about thankfulness. Just being thankful. One philosopher said, in most of mankind, gratitude is merely a secret hope of further favors. And I thought about that, and that's pretty accurate sometimes, isn't it? We say thank you because we hope we'll have a future blessing. I remember reading a story one time about a young man that roomed with three or four other college students, and they had an agreement that they would just take their turn and fix the meals. So today would be one person's turn, one, you know. You kind of imagine most college boys would not be very good cooks. There might be some exceptions to that, but wouldn't generally be very true. And one of the young men, after every meal, said, great meal, thank you. And one day, one of the young men fixed a meal, and it was hardly edible. When he was done eating, the young man said, great meal, thank you. He said, why would you say that? You say that after every meal, and none of us can cook, and none of us can do a very good job, and you always say, great meal, thank you. He said, well, let me tell you a story. He said, when I was growing up, one day we went to the table to eat, and on our plate was only a piece of straw. And my father said, look what's on the plate. A piece of straw, what is that? And my mother said, it's the first time you've ever noticed what I put on your plate. And he said, I made up my mind right then that I was going to be thankful for the person who filled my plate. And so, you may not consider it great, but I'm thankful that someone fixed that meal. I think that makes a good point, doesn't it? That we can be thankful in just about any circumstance for whatever good is in it. I've been thinking a lot lately about thankfulness, and I don't know if you get tired of me saying it now and then, but we've got so many things to be thankful for. We're so abundantly blessed. We can go down a long list and say, well, here's some things that you know, are distressing me or tragic or are disturbing me, but they will never outweigh the things we should be thankful for. We have so many. And I thought about just giving a list of things that I'm thankful for this morning, but that wouldn't be fair to you. Many of them, I think, would be the same things you'd be thankful for, but we'd all have different things that we would be thankful for. And we can think over the past and historic things, and there are things that happened years and years ago that I still thank God almost on a daily basis for those things, even though they happened a long time ago. We could probably measure how much we really are thankful and have by how much we take for granted. How many of the things that, if we stop to think about it, we would be thankful for, but we just take them for granted because they're there every day. And I know there are things like that in my life. That's for certain. And I've mentioned it before. I think it's a privilege. I think it's a blessing that I don't have to go out, cut wood, and put in a stove to warm my house. Now, there are people that do that all the time, and they like that. But, you know, I like to just go down in the morning like I did this morning and hit that little button. And in, you know, half an hour, it's going to be 6 degrees warmer. That's kind of a, you know, it's something you take for granted. But that's pretty nice. I'm not going to go into a list, but, you know, it's easy to forget when we have so much that there are others who have little of what we have much of. You know, I know a man this is still true of him today, when he goes to his wardrobe in the morning to choose what shirt he's going to wear, he's got two shirts. So it's just which one of the two shirts is he going to wear today? Or maybe the one's in a wash and one that's in the wardrobe is the one that's clean. My dilemma is more which shirt am I going to wear today from some several. Things like that. But I really want to talk about a little bit this morning about the spiritually mature having a maturation in thankfulness as well. We're thankful for what we have. And we have so many things to be thankful for. And sometimes we'll talk about the material things, but I'm going to spend at least a little time this morning talking about the spiritual things that we should have an abundance of thanksgiving for. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, and I hope I remember to put this together at the end of the lesson, because I want to connect the command with the idea. But I just want to look at the idea of a command. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, it says, "In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything give thanks." So we might say, well, okay, thanksgiving is a command. That's give thanks. And at least for now, think of it from this perspective. When you're raising your children and you do things for them, or other people do things for them, or their grandparents give them a gift, and what do you want your children to do? You want them to say thank you. And even as parents, you want your children to recognize. At least I wanted my sons to recognize the effort my wife put into taking care of them. They needed to express that thanksgiving from time to time. So we would teach them a lot of times by saying, "Say thank you." That's kind of a command. But did we want them just to say thank you, or did we want them to recognize thankfulness and to be truly thankful? That's what we really desired. And so at some point you hope the expression of thank you comes from their heart, that they are thankful and they express that thanksgiving. And then it is appreciated by those who have put the effort into whatever it was. I think thanksgivings to God are a natural outgrowth of activity of Christians when they do good to and for one another and they help one another. The one that receives the blessing should react with thanksgiving. And I think that thanksgiving is a part of our spiritual service as priests unto God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, there the writer says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So part of our sacrifice, our spiritual sacrifice, even our physical sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of our lips, he says, is giving thanks to his name. And he goes on to say, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." So he's well pleased with our thankfulness and our doing good and sharing with others. That's what the word communicate there means. To share with other people. It's good for that. So we're expected to give both praise and thanksgiving with our lips to God. So that's just think about that subject for a little bit. I'll try to streamline it. I don't want us to memorize it, because these are things that should come to us naturally at some point, just as we see it. Like, you know, mom puts dinner on the table. She appreciates a recognition of her effort by a thankfulness. And it may be expressed in a number of different ways. If you've eaten at my table, you know, a lot of times I'll say to my wife, "You know, you did a good job there. I'll let you do that again sometime." But that really means thank you. Something, you've done something well here. I see other people's heard that too. So, you know, what are some things that we could be thankful for that maybe we don't think about a lot. And we may be thankful without expressing it overtly. So, you know, it crosses our mind, we think about it, we're just inherently thankful for it. So I'm not saying we have to verbalize that every time we think of it, but do we recognize it with thanksgiving? That's really what I'm saying. So, you know, I think we should be thankful for the special people of God. One of the things that I would say that I remember greatly about growing up is my parents taught us to be thankful for God's people. And I still appreciate that today. They told us that God's people were special people. They might have their flaws and their warts and their moles and all that kind of things, you know, but they were still God's special people because they're dedicated to God. But so I just put that at the top of the list. God's people are special people. His own special people is what they're called in Scripture. But there are other special people in our lives we should be thankful for our families, both immediate and extended families. We should be thankful for them, parents, grandparents, siblings. We could even have reason to be thankful for those who have been a trial to us. Because sometimes that happens in families, doesn't it? People are a trial to us. But we can learn things from them, even in them testing us or trying us, that make us grow. So, as I said, you can find, even in that bad meal, the fact someone put forth the effort is something to be thankful for. And perhaps a family member that's been a trial in your life has caused you to grow in such a way that you can benefit others by the growth you've had. How about for those who've taught us the gospel of Christ? Think about that. Be thankful for those people. And I think back over time, I remember a lot of my teachers, both when I was, you know, growing up and as I was, you know, beginning to serve the Lord in the church as a young man, as I began to try to learn the craft of preaching, those who were willing to you know, help me and criticize me and encourage me and all those good things. I can name names. And if you don't mind, I'll just name one. There's a lot, but you know, the other day my wife was going through pictures and she found a picture of Alvin Newsom. You know what kind of memories that brought to me? A wealth of memories. I sat there after I looked at that picture and just thought about Alvin Newsom. You know, he was a special person. Alvin Newsom, I don't know how much of the New Testament he had memorized, maybe all of it. I wouldn't claim that. I don't know if he would have claimed that. But I know one thing, you couldn't catch him without being able to say a passage. When I worked with the church at Tomlinson Run, he sat to the right of the aisle. And if I was preaching and I couldn't draw where a passage was to mind, he would just tell me where it was. He was like a walking concordance. And I sat in his Bible class for several years that he taught the young people. And he would teach Acts. And when we get done with Acts, you know what he'd say? We're going to teach Acts. We're going to go through Acts again. He thought that was the hub of the Bible. And he thought we really needed to know what was in Acts. And so he taught it again and again and again. And you know what I think about that? I can remember as a kid one time saying, "Ugh, we're going to go through Acts again." But he would make it alive every time he did it. So, but when he was done, you didn't resent the fact he'd gone through Acts again. Now, he was a special person. I'm thankful. I've had a lot of those in my life. Are we thankful for the people that teach us and taught us the gospel? I'm thankful for that as well. Imagine what their teaching has meant to us over time. And I would almost imagine when I'm talking about this morning, at least if I'm being successful at all, when I'm talking about this morning, that I've brought to the minds of all of you someone who has helped you with the gospel and caused you to reflect on Thanksgiving for that. How about just for the good people we meet in our lives? Are we thankful for them? I mean, we live in a world that's full of greed and selfishness and cruel, dishonest people. And sometimes we focus our attention and say, oh, look how bad things are. But how many good people do we know that do good things and influence our lives and influence the lives of our children and influence the lives of our brethren? How many good people do we know? We actually know, if we stop to think about it, we know quite a few, don't we? Let me suggest to you, because we are a family in the church, that we have the privilege of knowing more really good people than most people in the world know anywhere. And I realize when I say that, my standard of saying this is a good person is way higher than the world standard. You know, you read in the newspaper, this guy is a really good guy, and then you read about who he really is, and he's not a good guy at all. We're not talking about the worldly standard of good. We're talking about the standard of God for good. We know good people. And they demonstrate good things in their life. So we're thankful for the people of God and other Christians that are around us. And when I was thinking about this lesson, doing this lesson, I was thinking about how broad is that? Now, for some of us, I realize we're kind of located here in Pittsburgh. Some don't know a lot of people further than that. But I know people, you know, all over the United States. And I'm thankful for those good people that are there. And I don't claim to do this all the time, but I often remember to thank God for Christians that even I haven't seen in years. Just because they're good people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and beginning of verse 11, Paul says there, therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. In other words, you've already done that, and I encourage you to do it more. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So he's talking about those who lead, those who are elders, those who are bishops and such like. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. He's saying, that's a way of saying be thankful. Esteem them in that. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Is he talking about this fellowship of good people? Isn't that what he's talking about there? He is. Encouragement, understanding, love, and even forgiveness. It's all in there for us to look at. And to have sympathy in sorrow and pain and even help in times of tragedy, because that happens, doesn't it? It's among us. It happens among us, and it will happen as long as we're in this world. But we have a system that helps comfort one another. And so be thankful for, you know, what they mean to the truth. It's an interesting phrase he's used in Philippians chapter 1. Paul says there, let your conversation... Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? Let your conversation, let your manner of life, that's what the word conversation there means, not just the way you talk to one another, but your whole manner of life. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The word become there is also a word that can be used, the word adorn. adorn. It's the idea of clothing oneself in, be covered in, to even garnish what you're wearing. So adorn yourself. In other places, the word is women are who profess godliness are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. How they clothe themselves. Okay. We are to be a people that shine forth as lights in the world. First President Bush, remember he had a saying, 1,000 points of light. That was pretty effective. It lasted throughout his one-term presidency. But it created a picture in people's minds of darkness, being totally dark, and just a pinpoint of light. And you could pick out of that darkness that pinpoint of light. And I believe that's exactly what Paul's saying here. You shine forth as lights in the world. We are thankful for people that actually do that. So thankful for special people, for good people. Thankful for those who do preach the gospel of Christ. You know, the New Testament addresses that attitude about those who preach and teach the gospel. There's a variety of directions that we could go with this, or we could look at it from different angles. One of them might be that we need sometimes to realize that those who preach the gospel often make sacrifices so that the gospel can go forth. There are those who make sacrifices and do things. In fact, I would say this. I believe probably every single preacher of the gospel, every single teacher that goes forth, has to make sacrifices to accomplish what they want to do. And we could maybe talk about a list of those things for others that I know of, but you get the point. You know what I'm talking about. There are heartaches and trials that are associated with preaching the gospel that are not always on the surface to be seen. And because a man enjoys his work, people ask me, what do you do? And I tell them, and they say, what do you think about it? I said, I've lived my life getting to do what I want to do and what I enjoy doing. And I do. And, I often tell people, I don't work. Because when you enjoy what you're doing, it's not really work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we have an example of Paul. And here's a list of things that he related to in his preaching the gospel. He wouldn't have come into these difficulties if he'd just made tents. This is a result of his preaching the gospel. And he said, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. But there is no... In my, you can disagree with this opinion, but in my opinion, there is no better work in the world than teaching the gospel of Christ and seeing souls turn towards God. There's no more rewarding thing than that I can think of. But remember we're talking about spiritual connections here and Thanksgivings that we probably realize or. And sometimes don't recognize, but often do, and don't verbalize them. But, think about Thanksgiving for just God's own Son. We might express this more than other things we've talked about this morning, or we may not. But look at the things we can be thankful of. For instance, we can look at the proof of the truth of the Bible through fulfilled prophecies. We look at Jesus. The Bible, there are prophecies that are not directly related to Jesus, but many of the prophecies are directly or indirectly related to Jesus. And how do we prove those things? I was asked a question in a Bible study yesterday. How do you establish that you're right about things of the Bible? Well, one of the ways you establish that is look at prophecies and show how they've been fulfilled. How about the hope of eternity in the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ? Paul says it all hinges on that. If Christ was not raised, then neither will you be raised. But if Christ was raised, then you will be raised as well. We're thankful that we recognize that our Savior died willingly that we might live. And that He's our King and our Master. And He's one that we can place our confidence in because He keeps His promises. Can you imagine how long this list could become? It could become long. He's our High Priest, but He's also our Mediator. And so many other things. And some things that should reflect Christ in our lives. And we should be able to see that in ourselves and in others and among our brethren. How about just simply in the way that we treat our children and our wife? Should that be reflected in the things that God has done for us and our thanksgiving for that? Or how about the way we treat our boss or our coworkers? Should our thanksgiving for the things God has done for us be reflected in the treatment of others, and yes, even our leaders? How about in the way we conduct business with other people? We should be compelled in dealing with other people to be honest with them. And to be fair with them. Even if others have taken advantage of us, that doesn't mean we can turn around and take advantage of someone else. Or just, in the way we treat everyone. We should think about that. How about in the way we dress? Or the things we choose to do? I was thinking, again, in connection with the lesson, but I was thinking how... If you stop to think about how many things that you do in your life is directly connected to a decision you make because you follow the Lord. And how minor that might be. Or how major it might be. And I think things that we don't even think about. Until, like me, I was thinking about, the way we dress. Perhaps the way we cut our hair. I already mentioned dress, but just various things that seem kind of minor things. How about choosing not to purchase something because you're going to lay by in store on the first day of the week? So there's things that belong to God and there's things that belong to you, and you don't mess with the things that belong with God. Let me tell you, people of the world don't think about that. They think about what option they can buy on their car, or where will they get their speedboat at, or so on and so forth. But we make decisions based on who we are. And even the way we work together in the body of Christ. I don't know if we've decided to do that today or not. But we're going to talk very soon about the plans we have to work together as the body of Christ this year. Are we thankful? I think we are, but I'm just bringing it to our mind. Are we thankful that we are at peace and unified and we're able to work together? That's just a tremendous blessing. You have discontent in a congregation and disunity. People don't feel good about the time they come to worship and are together and the work they do together. But if they are, we have so many blessings to be thankful for. There's blessings that come with being in Christ as opposed to being out of Christ. There are just things for us to think about for our very hope, even of eternal life. Paul deals with that. I'm not going to take the time to read all those passages this morning, but Paul deals with that idea to our very hope in Ephesians chapter 2. And he said, in times past, we were Gentiles of the flesh. We were even called the uncircumcised. And he says, at that time, we were without Christ and without hope, and we were strangers from the covenant of promise. But now, in Christ Jesus, we have all those things. So outside of Christ, we have no hope, and we have nothing to look forward to. And he also goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about, and you have to be quickened. That means he made you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we're living beings, spiritually as well as physically, because of Christ. But even greater than that, because when we're talking about our prospects of the future, we're talking about hope we have not yet realized, but it's something we are confident in and we're sure of. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul says there, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So one is limited. He's not saying it's not without any value at all, but in the end, it won't do you a lot of good. But godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, personally, I think there he's talking about the spiritual life that now is while we're here upon the earth, and then that which is to come. Because physical exercise may have a limited benefit for a short period of time, but your spiritual exercise has its benefits now and also for eternity. That's pretty good. So how thankful are we for that? How about thankfulness for prayer? And I hear this expressed in our prayers quite often. Thank you for listening to us. God doesn't have to listen to us. He doesn't have to invite us to his throne of grace, but he does, so he hears our prayers. And John says in 1 John chapter 5, and he says, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's a pretty great blessing. It's one we use a lot. Not only do we use it in the assembly, I hope we use it constantly and consistently outside the assembly for ourselves. How about being thankful that God adopted us as children? Didn't have to do that. You know, we all sometimes reflect on children being adopted, and when we see a good family get a child, we think that child is really blessed. And they are, by the way. But so is the family that gets the child. God adopted us as children. And in a sense, there is a blessing. We bless God and we bless his name in that he adopted us as children in our thanksgiving. We can be thankful just for the common mundane things. You know, we're not hungry. And if you are, you need to let somebody know, because you won't be. But you know, there are people who are hungry. And we may not be ill, but there are people who are. And we may be ill, but not as ill as others. There's a bright spot somewhere. We are well sheltered and fed and clothed. But there are people who are not. I saw a picture just this morning, and it wasn't in connection with the lesson, but it came to my mind while I'm talking about it, of children with no shelter and no food somewhere else. Somebody just took a picture of them and posted in pictures. Most of us can't say we've lost everything we have, but there are people out there who have. Okay. What are the benefits of being thankful? Maybe you wouldn't think about it, but there actually is a benefit to being thankful. It benefits you in being thankful. Benefits me in being thankful. not only when we say thank you to someone else, but ourselves are, you know, and the Lord said it's more blessed to give than receive. Unless you've been on the giving end and understand that, you might not get that point. More blessed to give than receive. Because we might think, oh, it's always more, it's we start out with the philosophical idea. We might say thank you in the hopes of getting more. That's not really the point, is it? Well, one thing, we do obey God. But we reflect a heart of gratitude. And learning to appreciate that which perhaps we once took for granted. Thankfulness helps us put things in perspective, doesn't it? Or it should. It might give us the perspective that material things are just not as important when we stack them against spiritual things as we may have once thought they were. Thankfulness helps keep us from being selfish. And it helps us to think positive about our role in life, who we are. You know what Paul said to the Philippians that they needed to think on? They weren't material things. They were spiritual things. I hope, the lessons helped us to focus on thankfulness in spiritual things this morning. And not to neglect the abundant blessings of material things, but the spiritual things are greater than material things. So Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So, as I suggested earlier in the lesson, even though God is commanded in the sense of being thankful, we should be thankful because we're truly thankful. Not from a sense of obligation. You know, the child that says, when their grandparent gives them a gift, thank you. And the parents say, you need to really be thankful. Thank you. What they're really wanting to do is for them to realize that they need to be thankful. And that's what I believe God is teaching us in the same way. Somebody sent me this, and I'm just going to read a part of it, but it's a poem that kind of makes us think. What if God, and the poem is entitled, What If? What if God couldn't take the time to bless us today because we couldn't take the time to thank Him yesterday? That's pretty good, isn't it? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow Him today? What if we never saw another flower bloom because God withheld the rain that we complained about? What if God didn't walk with us today because we failed to recognize it as His day? What if God took the Bible away tomorrow because we wouldn't read it today? Makes us think, doesn't it? What if God took away His message because we failed to listen to the messenger? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? I don't know who thought this up because the person who sent it to me didn't know who wrote it, but there's some good stuff there, isn't there? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer His call to service? That's pretty good. What if God met our needs in the same way we give Him our lives? In the people of God. Let's be thankful. Let's even be thankful for this lesson, if you can find it in your heart to do that. Lesson's yours. Thank you for listening.